Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Bound, bound. Bound, bound.
With that guy, the great Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan, Danny Zetterman, J.R. Strauss, Jeffrey Miller. 312-332-3776. We got calls to get back to. Was Matt Nagy actually right when he said, when Justin's ready, we'll be able to know? Andy gives us the best chance to win. And then 24 hours later, hey, coach wants to see you, Justin. Don't tell anybody yet. I'll let the media know tomorrow. It's your job going forward.
Moving forward. That's very key in the phrase now.
Don't look over your shoulder. It's your job.
Moving forward, you're going to be the starter, meaning that Andy won't be over your shoulder. Nick won't be over your shoulder. It's your job.
It's yours.
All of the media scrutiny. All of the writers, all the fans, the majority of the fans, right, saying for sure it's Justin Fields' time. Before he was even on the field for a regular season game, in preseason, people said that's the guy. You know why? Because of the word hope. Did you hear what Albert Breer said in our last segment?
Yep.
Talked about hope. Well, let me tell you something about hope. You can put hope in one hand and crap in the other and see what fills up first, the most. Seriously.
You're right.
I mean, this whole thing about hope. It's a great word, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a genuine thing. Hope is wishing, clicking your heels, hoping that things are going to work out well. All I know is that there's a lot of things that were against Justin Fields before he got here, and that is offensive line issues, which we documented all summer long.
Yep.
Still a problem today.
Yep.
Same thing with play calling. Who's going to call the plays this week? Is it Nagy? Is it going to be Bill Lazor? Is it going to be... Until all those things are straightened out, until the Bears' house is straightened out, then it's always going to be an issue.
Okay, here's the other question. So Justin says yesterday, we played it. Justin Fields said this.
Yeah, so that was third down. In the headset, they were telling me we had 12 men on the field, so I was trying to snap the ball quick. And then me snapping the ball quick, I think it caught our receivers off guard because we were trying to get a flag. So me thinking that we have 12 men on the field, you know, that's a free play. So I'm thinking already scrambling, you know, around and stuff like that. And then, of course, see A-Rod downfield, and I think he slips. And then, of course, the pick. So, yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, just trying to get him 12 people on the field and then just went back from there. So, yeah.
So that's 2 weeks in a row that he thought he had a free play. One was a guy in the neutral zone, which was fact. They didn't get the call. The second one, for me, is more troubling. Okay, you took a shot. You thought the guy's in the neutral zone. They didn't throw the flag. Whatever. Somebody in your headset is saying, fire, fire. That means 12 men on the field. Snap the ball. When he was told that, there were 20 seconds on the play clock. They cut communication at 15. He's told 12 men on the field. Bam, snap it. Mustafa, let's go. And then it gets picked, and I turned on NFL Game Pass. I pay good money for that. Mm-hmm. And I said, Danny, come in here. And Danny walked in. We stood right here at this computer at 5:30 this morning. I said, Danny, count the number of guys out there. Because on the coach's film, you can have the end zone look. You can have the sideline look. Sideline look. Danny, there's all the guys. Count them up. You know, he's snapping the ball. There's still a lot of time on the play clock. Mm-hmm. There's 11 guys there. So who is telling? Because Bill Lazor, while he's calling the plays, he's looking at his sheet. He's not going 1, 2, 3. There's 12. Somebody is saying to him, there's 12 guys on the field for them.
Nagy?
No, it's somebody up top. Hmm. Somebody up top is counting that.
DeFilippo?
I don't know. I would think it's farther down the food chain. I wouldn't think a highly compensated assistant is spending his time counting how many people are on the field.
By the way, a pro tip for you. Just a pro tip. You never yell fire on a very crowded radio show. Or a crowded theater.
Or a crowded theater.
Yes.
But that's what they yell in their headset.
Mm-hmm.
And we froze the picture. Danny came in here. He counted him just like I did. I wasn't very good in math.
I think you can count to 11.
But I can count to 12. 11.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, 5, 6, 7, yeah. 8, 9, 10. Oh, there's number 11 playing deep safety.
And Nagy's response to that was, we have to fix the communication issue, correct?
Correct. Like, I'm not going to waste our time playing another minute 5 from him. But he says that in there. We got to fix the communication issues. Well, hold on a second. Who is telling whoever's in Justin's ear, whether that's DeFilippo, Laser, who's telling them there's 12 guys on the field and there isn't 12 guys on the field?
Mm-hmm.
That's incompetence.
That's exactly right. But just really a microcosm of the Bears and trying to figure out how to work with Justin Fields. Now, I'm glad Justin put that out there because clearly most quarterbacks, the majority of the quarterbacks would have said, yeah, that's on me, or we had a communication issue, or my headphones, or my headset went out of my whatever, right? But he explained it. Like, this is what happened, right?
Hey, man.
And then, of course, Nagy was not ready for that question, and then that's why he said, well, we have to work out our communication issues, right? Whatever, right? But just the point is that on that play, if you did not see it, Justin said, thinks, okay, I hear the word fire, or I hear that in my headset. That means I have a free play. I throw it down the field. It's intercepted. Now, two things with that. Robinson fell down the play, and then it was easily intercepted. It was overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
So whether there was 12 guys in the field now in the free play, he still threw an interception.
Correct. But he's thinking, no downside here, man. I got a free play.
How many free plays do you remember in the Trubisky era? Zero.
Because he would check down.
Yeah, that's right.
He wouldn't take the shot down the field, and right. We would drill him on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, there was a flag for a guy in the neutral zone or offsides. Why didn't you take a free play? Because you're too dumb, Mitch. You don't know how to read a defense. And now we do it, and it doesn't go our way, and now we're going to kill the kid again.
How about Cutler? I think he would just throw it in the ground, wouldn't he, if there was a penalty?
Yeah, he'd just throw it slam bounce. It down.
Yeah, I saw that way too often with him. Just like, just throw it, just blank can it, just throw it behind him with all that stuff. Just, I mean, you when you have an opportunity to have a free play to get more yardage, Cutler would just check it down. Or no, he'd throw it in the ground. That's what he would do.
Right.
So that's
where we're at with this team. Like, they just need to clean house.
All right. Well, again, you'll get what you want.
But just who's not, doing the hiring?
Yeah, like, and when will that happen?
Right.
This Bears team, as is, even with the daunting schedule, with a very difficult schedule, is still going to be a playoff team. So what if they make the playoffs? What do you say then? Now, you and I would say, okay, the offense still not good enough. It's still in the 20s. You barely got in because you beat the Lions twice. Or you beat the Vikings twice. Whatever it is, right? If you eat your way in. So what if?
Jets fans would say to you, you guys are complaining. Your head coach is 31-24. 31. Go look at his numbers. Jets fans would be like, we'll sign up for that right now.
Cool. Well, the Heritage franchise expects more.
Agreed.
That's the difference. We know you suck. We know that you have ineptitude.
Correct.
We know that you're terrible.
Correct.
But we have standards around here.
Correct.
And it should be better. But remember what George and Ted, just remember, Bears been in the playoffs a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They look at that as success.
They do.
And it is a rung on the ladder. It is. But are you getting better offensively?
No.
You paid that guy to make the offense better, to make it actually an offensive team, to change the narrative of just being running back you, defensive line you. You want to have an offense that can fit with Arizona and some of the better teams in the NFL. Have you done that since he's been here?
Nope.
No. Okay, so how does that get better?
Change.
But they like Matt, though, because he's great in the room, and he's got COVID.
We wish him well. 312-332-3776.
He's got a couple of tests to determine whether or not he's going to be the sidelines on
Sunday,
right?
He's got to pass two in a 24-hour period because he's fully vaccinated.
We should have been able to smell that out yesterday. He was stuffy. I thought he was just hoarse and just tired.
And then can you tell me why they run him out to do a media session from his car?
Yeah. Well, he's isolated in there. Well, he wanted to explain himself.
He's driving.
They didn't let the media know why it would be Zoom. They were all caught off guard. They sent out a link for a Zoom with Matt Nagy before announcing he had COVID. This is not my joke, but did you guys see the joke going around on Twitter yesterday?
Oh, boy.
That Matt Nagy has no chance of beating COVID because COVID has 19 and he can't score more than 3.
Wow.
There you go.
Holy bleep.
Not my joke.
That's amazing.
Yep.
If he wasn't on the sidelines, who should be the head coach on Sunday?
Mike Pettine.
Now, that's who you want to coach the team now, because you want Matt fired today.
Oh, right. If they fired Matt, yep. I would make Mike Pettine the head coach for the rest of the season. And I'd still do the same thing again on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want laser focused on the offense. I want Desai on the defense. Right now, it's Chris Tabor.
Chris Tabor, yeah, they announced that.
Correct. He will handle the meetings and everything at Hallis Hall. He's the special teams coordinator.
Qualified? It's just a guy.
I have no idea.
Keyshawn said this morning that they always go to the special team guy because he has the most interaction with the most different players on the team.
I would also say that he does the least. He's on the side.
Right.
He's on the side field, right, Jeff? Is that what it is?
Coach Ditka.
Oh, Ditka.
Started as a special teams coach.
Special teams.
Coach Harbaugh?
Ah.
I'm not talking about Jim. I'm talking about John.
Ah.
John was a special teams guy before he got the Ravens job.
Ditka was on special teams. That is true. And now we can see him in the commercials laying on a couch.
Do you think if things go well,
that'll look good,
Tabor could be setting things up so that we could have a bit of a coup here? All of a sudden things go well. Well for the Bears on Sunday.
Oh.
Matt Nagy not in the house.
Ah.
Does it make it easier for certain people to cut ties with Matt Nagy?
Oh, you can hear that type of analysis with Yurko coming up at 10:25.
Wouldn't it be illegal, though, for them to fire him after getting COVID? They have to let him return to work. I think that's like
Listen, you can have him return to work on Monday and then say, all right, Matt, pack up your bags.
You're out.
Your office is packed up. You could return to work, but the reason he'd be being fired is because of incompetence.
Well, if Dalton can lose his job because of injury, so can't...
That's what I'm saying. Dalton will be... Hey, coach! Sorry to hear about that, dude.
Tabor's taking over. He's like Al Haig.
I would think it would be Mike Pettine if it was long-term. Maybe
that?
For a game. Maybe you're right. 312-332-3776.
Remember Reagan got shot and Al Haig says, I'm taking over?
Right. Anyway, like, no, that's not how the chain of protocol works.
That's not how that works, Haig.
Chain of command.
So maybe that's what Tabor do. He steps in and is like, you know what? Andy's our starter. Take that. Wait a minute.
I'm getting this job anyway, so I'm coaching him how I want to coach him.
Al Haig.
What happens when a drunk woman stumbles into a radio booth while a game broadcast is going on? That plus Space, Carl, Eddie, Matt, all of you. Next.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap'n Jay Hood mornings between 7 and 10 on ESPN 1000. Don't forget to download the ESPN Chicago app. And to remind you that it'll be Yurko and Miller between 10 and noon. Van Greeny at 12 and 2 to 6. Waddle and Sylvie right into Bleck and Abdallah right here on Chicago's Home for Sports ESPN 1000. So what happens when a woman gets drunk in a radio booth? We will get to that and also your phone calls at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You know, Danny, here's what's interesting. So you're at a college football game, and you just want to have a little fun, and sometimes you just don't know where you are. And so everything looks like a bar at some point, right? Everything looks like a bar. And for this woman, she is trying to find anywhere she can find a drink, and she goes to the radio booth to be able to find a drink, right?
I'm amazed that she was able to get in there. You know, we've been lucky enough in this business that we've been in press boxes and radio booths. You can't just nonchalantly wander in.
Right.
Or can you?
No, you cannot just wander in. No, you cannot do that. So I find this sound interesting. of a woman trying to get into the radio booth.
So she's at, I believe she's at a Baltimore Ravens game.
Mm-hmm.
And she's at a Baltimore Ravens game, and I guess she believes she wasn't served enough.
Tyler Boyd has it for a short gain out to the 34-yard line. Again, impressive coverage by Anthony Avery.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Third down and six. Burrow in the shotgun. Ravens bunch six along the defensive front. Burrow takes the snap. Blitz pressure coming. He's flushed from the pocket. Throws deep. Near side. It is broken up. Complete at the 40-yard line. T. Higgins was the target. Anthony Averett had great coverage. And that is going to force the punt team on. If you were listening, you heard Femi say, what are you doing? What are you doing? He was not talking to the players or the coaches. We actually had a fan who was trying to climb into the broadcast booth. She said, I'm a veteran and I'm looking for a drink.
Yeah, I don't serve drinks at the game. I might make some cocktails at home, but this is not the right time or place.
You just never know what's going to pop up or who's going to show up on game day.
What
are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Okay, well, first of all, that was just so stiff, right? You got to have fun with that.
That's Gary Sandusky's the play-by-play guy.
Huh? It's who?
Jerry Sandusky.
Jerry, but not Jerry. That one.
What a scumbag!
Not that guy.
That guy. Son of a bitch! And you know what happened at Penn State?
You know who the color awful. Commentator is?
Awful!
Not that guy. Different one.
Huh?
A different Jerry Sandusky. That other one's in jail.
I thought they let him out.
No, not that guy.
Jesus. I was about to go 0-100 on him, Cap. How did they let that guy in a football booth?
It's not him. Different guy.
All right.
And the other guy is Brendan Iambadejo's brother, Femi.
It's Femi Iambadejo.
There you go.
There's like two or three of them, right, that's been in the league?
Yes.
The one that matters to us is Brendan.
That's true.
Brendan was a good player, man.
Yeah. Oh, a quality special teams guy.
He was a fun dude to hang out with. I went and saw Jay-Z with him at the House of Blues once. Oh, boy, that was a night I'll never forget.
Brendan Iambadejo.
You mentioned somebody stepping into a broadcast booth. So the late Ernie Harwell. Hall of Fame voice of the Tigers.
Yes.
Harry Carey had come back from the stroke. Remember, they tried to curb his drinking.
Oh, duels.
Correct. Yeah. He was drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking at Wrigley in the press area. You've been there?
Yeah.
A million times. Yeah. That's what my office was.
Mm-hmm.
He walks down the hall, and somebody's, I'm trying to remember who I was standing by, I said, Harry. Ernie Harwell's in that booth, heard you were here, he wants to say hi. They hadn't talked in a long time, and they used to be good friends, but, you know.
They're
just not seeing each other. Harry walks over, he opens the door, I'm not kidding you. Hey, Ernie, this non-alcoholic beer's killing me. He closes the door and he leaves. Not, how are you? Nothing. Yes! While he's on the air. Non-alcoholic beer's killing me.
There's Harry Carey from the Chicago Cubs coming.
Unbelievable.
The old-timey Ernie Harwell.
Unbelievable.
So there you go, man. And one other side note, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by Ankin Law, Howard Ankin, the official attorney of the Cap J. Hood Show, 3126 million.
Boy, the whole commercial, that's amazing.
I'm fast.
Can I get your autograph? I want to ask Danny, and I don't usually bother Danny when he's like on a mini vacation when he's out of town weekends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't bother Danny, but I was excited for Danny because his Kansas Jayhawks were giving it to the Oklahoma Sooners,
mm-hmm.
right? And I love that. But on Twitter, as I'm watching the game, the people at the Kansas Athletic Department says, "Hey, we're leading right now. The gates are open. So if you're around Lawrence." Anywhere around the area, come on by. You don't need to pay for a ticket. Just come on in and sit down and watch as we try to upset the Sooners.
Correct.
Now, Kansas wasn't going to beat Oklahoma, but the idea that in Hooterville, in Lawrence, come on down, y'all. We might beat the Sooners. Tickets? No tickets. Just come on in. Just come through the gates. Danny, what is that? What is that?
Hooterville.
That Hooterville, come on down. Looks like the school. They look like the town's team's going to win this one.
What are you doing?
Come on, man.
I'll tell you, we are a basketball school. We are not a football powerhouse by any means. And unfortunately, when you're 1-5 and you haven't beat a ranked team. Here, Kansas is 1-5, right? Their only win in the year came against South Dakota. They're 0-3 in the Big 12. They've had five straight losses. They've lost to Coastal Carolina, Baylor, Duke, Iowa State, Texas Tech. When you're at halftime in a lead on Oklahoma, the stadium's empty, dude. You need the students to just rush over from wherever they're partying and drinking to tear down those goalposts when it goes final.
But then that's a fine, though. I guess that's okay.
100 grand.
Oh, it's worth 100 grand. Just for the SportsCenter publicity you're going to get and the marketing of actually beating Oklahoma. What was Oklahoma ranked? Number two?
Yeah. They've now slipped to third.
There you go.
Because Kansas played them tight.
Right. Like, people are looking at voting going, Kansas sucks. Okay, we got to move Alabama back up here.
You know what? Because it was dumb to push them down to like 4 or 5. I'm like, it's still Alabama. A one-loss Alabama team is better than most.
Correct.
Including Georgia.
Correct.
It could be. We'll see, right? You know what I also learned, Cap? I learned what wave the wheat means from Danny. Are you familiar with wave the wheat?
No.
That's the thing at Kansas.
You do this when they score. You wave the wheat.
Come on, Cap. We could do this.
You wave the wheat.
Wave the wheat.
For all our Twitchers out there, that's waving the wheat.
Just wave the wheat. I saw fans doing that. I'm like, well, see, the reason why I had never seen that is because I've never seen Kansas with a lead. Oh, it gets a good football
team. Do they do it at a basketball game, too?
Yeah, they do it at a basketball game. Waving the wheat's their thing.
Okay, but that's why in the same state, Wichita State's called the Wheat Shockers. They call them the Shockers.
Yes.
But that's what they were, the Wheat Shockers.
Yes. Listen, in October of 2004, Kansas beat Kansas State in Lawrence. Kansas State was ranked like third or fourth in the country. I was there. I returned for homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask us to go on the field and tear down the goalposts. They demanded it. Instead of the cops being on the field pushing us back, the cops started at the top of the stadium, and they pushed us onto the field. They were like begging us, destroy stuff, destroy stuff.
Oh, my God.
We need this.
Kansas.
It's not a football school, man.
I was just shocked by that.
But I also believe that your school, like, you could have a good football team. Let's assume this guy, Lance Leipold, who I like very much from the University of Buffalo, is that guy. And 7 years from now, you're like, geez, they got like 6 first-round picks on that offense. This team's unbelievable. It's still always going to be a basketball school. Always.
I just thought that was fascinating to watch that because I was like, oh, look at Kansas. It says a lot about Oklahoma, too. Did Oklahoma play down their competition?
Yeah.
Or is that their competition? They're not very good.
Oklahoma's overrated.
They're not very good.
And I love their freshman quarterback.
And they got away with an illegal play.
That was not illegal.
They stopped him 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he's forward lateraling.
That's behind the line of scrimmage.
I believe it was in front.
And the kid ripped it out of his hands,
or he passed it to him illegally.
No shot. No shot.
That was a very controversial call.
That is
for sure. Because I hadn't seen that. Either that's genius or that was illegal.
It was genius.
Because I've never seen that before. But wave the wheat gave you a little something.
There you go. Danny tells us about the trip to Tampa he, Carm, and Sylvie took with their kids. And we get these calls, and we got to get to them. Lewis, Carl, Space. Space has a poem for Bears fans.
Oh, boy.
Space is out of his mind today, I'll tell you that. You should tune in just to hear Space. He's in another galaxy today.
Okay. Space, he's got an idea.
He's got an idea. We're going to hear it all. Coming up next.
Schwartz.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
I have a couple quick Kansas stats that were just fed to me by the great Ryan McGuffey. Danny, Kansas had not led at halftime against a ranked team since 2014.
McGuffey getting that from Kampka, of course.
Probably.
Listen, I love Guff, but tell Guff to keep his nose out of Jayhawk business.
You want his beak out of the Jayhawk business?
Yeah, keep his beak out of Jayhawk business.
Oh, also, the last...
When I want to hear about the White Sox, I'll come to Guff and see how they're going to play in the World Series. Oh, they're not going to play in the World Series.
Oh. Wow, take that, Guff. Also, the last time Oklahoma was shut out in the first half, also 2014.
Again, from Kampka, given to you through Guff.
Correct.
Yes.
Is that still on where Kampka's not allowed to look you in the eyes or speak to you? He's got to use intermediaries.
Oh, my God. Kampka's the greatest, man. I love that dude.
The greatest, but he's not allowed to talk to you.
Which is great.
Mr. Kaplan. Mr. Kaplan, my sentence sir. Over, Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah. It's kind of like me on this show.
Wow. Space in Plainfield. Hey, Space.
What's up, guys? Cap Hoodie, Danny. What's up, guys, man?
What's up, Space?
Okay. Man,
Danny says you're out of your mind today.
Okay.
I am. You know, I have so much Bears frustration that I just had to put it into a poem. I call it Bears Pain. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here it goes. As a Bears fan, when do we fire Ryan Pace? I go to sleep, have a nightmare. Pace is right in my face. I try to dream. He chases me. I get away. Whew, he thought he had me. You see, even in my dreams, he can't get it right. Cough, cough, Matt Nagy. I don't know when we'll ever be out of this football hell. Run, Justin, run. If I could give McCaskey's advice, just let it go and sail. The end.
I love that.
Space, you're the man. I appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good day. You too. That's our guy, Space, in Plainfield.
I dig it, man. Groovy. Ever been to a poetry slam?
I have not.
You haven't?
I have not.
Those things are great. Danny?
Yeah, I went to a couple in college at coffee shops. They were amazing.
That's absolutely. JR?
How high were you?
Oh, no question. Completely.
Oh, very the best. High. The best.
Might have been on acid. I don't know.
Rut-row.
Ruby-doo.
Back to the phone lines, Cap. Here we go.
312-332-3776. Carl. Carl, what's up, kid?
What's up, kid? How you guys are doing?
How you doing?
How about the Bulls, well, Carl? 4-0.
The Bulls are 4-0. It just shows you how talented the NBA is.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time the Bulls have been 4-0 in 25 years, and they haven't had super terrible teams the whole ride. It just shows you that, hey, the NBA is pretty talented. It's hard to win your first four games. Even your best team lose one or two in that stretch.
Carl's a big Bulls fan. I know he's happy. I know you're happy, Carl.
Yes.
Very, very happy. But listen, you know, I was listening to you guys. I'm content with listening to the show until you all mentioned that you all think within the next 5 to 10 years we'll be, you know, have to pay for the Super Bowl on some streaming network, something like that. And I personally think that would be the first nail in the death nail of football. And before you say, hey, I don't think that's true. Think about this for a minute. Me and neither one of my two sons have any idea who the heavyweight champion is of the world right now. And at once upon a time, the heavyweight champion was as popular as the president of the United States.
Boxing.
And when they did what they did to boxing by trying to be greedy and everything closed circuit and everything pay-per-view, it took away the fan base, and that's what would happen. And as far as Justin Fields goes, listen, this is a quote from the great Mike Dicker. Mike Dicker and the guys, they was on ESPN. You know how they have a good time, they're laughing and chuckling and joking it up a little bit. And they asked him, well, what would these quarterbacks today have a success against your Bears team? Mike Dicker stopped smiling, looked directly in the camera, and said it's hard to pass the football laying on your ass. Justin Fields needs the offensive line because Mike Dicker said, end quote, it's hard to pass the ball laying on your ass.
Well said.
Good morning, guys.
Carl, see you, buddy.
All right, well, let's address this for a second.
Okay.
So when we watch the Super Bowl now, how much do you pay for it? Whatever your satellite and cable bill is, right?
Correct.
This ain't just, hey, David, straighten out the rabbit ears so we can watch the Bears game on Channel 2.
Get mom to give you some tinfoil. That's the way it was 40, 50 years ago.
Mr. Kaplan says, hey, David, put on Channel 2. the Bear game is on.
Right.
Tim Ryan and Johnny Morris is on. Let's watch it, right? That's, you're paying for it anyway.
Correct.
Because of cable and satellite.
Correct.
I think you pay just for ESPN television. Just. I want to say it's $10 a month of your cable bill.
Premium, right? Premium tier.
That is on an, it's not on the, it's now on basic, mm-hmm. but yep. you pay, I think it's a $10, what's called a sub fee. National Geographic might be a dime, quarter for A&E.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 10 bucks for ESPN. I want to say it's like $6 for NBC Sports Chicago. It's like $4 for Marquee.
Yeah.
Like, you're paying for it.
So the idea that the Super Bowl, you're already paying for it because it's part of your cable and satellite package.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And even if you say, oh, I'll cut the cord. Well, you got Roku. You got something, right?
YouTube TV.
You got something to pay. Mm-hmm. You got to pay for it. So somewhere along the line, when I said tomorrow, the Super Bowl will be on, it won't be on the major networks. It'll be on
Amazon. Somebody.
They're already in the NFL business, Amazon.
Correct. Right? And they'll say, hey, we want the Super Bowl. And you got to be an Amazon Prime customer if you want to get that game for free.
Just be careful. Like,
you're paying for it.
It's going to happen.
Agreed. Danny, so you guys flew down. You had to go Thursday. You had originally nonstop, you and Avery, your son, down to Tampa. Next thing you know, you're flying to Denver. So you had to cancel everything.
I had to cancel that. There was no, I don't know how you go from Chicago to Denver to Tampa. Makes no sense.
What airline?
That was Frontier,
mm-hmm.
which I would advise nobody ever book on.
Yep.
Then luckily I got on a Southwest Airlines from Chicago straight to Tampa. Oh, wait, Southwest canceled over 1,000 flights. Mine was among them. So at the last minute, I had to book one on American Airlines. That's why we had to leave Thursday night. But I'll tell you what, it was worth every penny to leave Thursday night because I got an extra day in Tampa with my boy, and it was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
What time did you get in Thursday night?
About 10-something. We got to our hotel. We went across the street to a bar called the American Social. He was the only 8-year-old there.
I was about to say, did Avery turn 21 when I was, like, blinking?
Listen, I looked at him and quickly and said, listen, you're going to hear some words on this trip that you are never going to use, okay? You're a big boy. This is a guy's trip. We're going to act like you're one of the boys. You are never going to use these words that you're about to hear. We walked into the bar. I mean, I had to explain to him in the first 5 minutes of being in the bar, because we were starving. We went there to get cheeseburgers, right? In the first 5 minutes, I had to explain to him why a woman was being carried out by two of her friends. She had puke running down her shirt. She was so drunk that they were carrying her out, and he asked me what's wrong with her. And I had explained she drank too much wine. And I said, you're going to see that a lot on this trip. People drink too much wine and they get nauseous. And then every time I had an alcoholic beverage throughout the weekend, he asked me if I was feeling nauseous.
Are you nauseous, Dad?
Yeah, I felt like he cared about me. Absolutely. Well, and this is the best thing about Florida, right? So we went to dinner. We got cheeseburgers. 10:30 at night. We're starving. We get two cheeseburgers, right? And I have a drink. I order a drink, right? We've been on a plane all day. I want a drink. The waitress rings us up and she goes, honey, can I get you another drink? And I go, no, it's all right. We're leaving. And she goes, this is Florida, sweetheart. You can take one for the road.
Yeah, well, not a surprise there.
There you go.
That's all right. I'll tell you, one
for the road.
I don't really want another one, but I'll take one for the road.
Oh, God!
Yeah.
Into the ditch!
Yeah, exactly.
Help me!
We drank in every... Me, Sylvie, and Carmen drank in every Uber we took. At that point, we realized it's Florida. And that was the excuse for everything. You can get away with it. It's Florida.
I love it.
You're in Florida. We went to Busch Gardens on Friday.
Yes, please tell me. There's an animal story in there, is it not?
Let me tell you this. First of all, we went to Busch Gardens on Friday. Me and Avery were two of the only 8 people in the whole park. We rode roller coasters that were so empty, they didn't make us get off. They stopped at the end, and the guy conducting said, do you guys want to go again? We held up thumbs up, and he just sent us on our way. We rode roller coasters with no lines that you'd wait in Great America.
An hour and a half,
2 hours. We rode zero lines. It was incredible. So they have animals at Busch Gardens. And you guys know my obsession with nature, and I like to see animals hunt and kill things.
Yes.
Well, they have a tiger. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous tiger. And all of a sudden, somebody said it's feeding time. So we stand by the window, and we're like, what does that mean? They threw in a live chicken, and the tiger, with its claw, one swipe, knocked that chicken to the ground, And 2 seconds later, it was devouring. And I have a video. I sent it to Hoodie.
Oh, my God.
I sent it to Hoodie. I mean, it was, talk about being excited to see the goat. That was a close second on the trip, seeing this tiger just manhandle this chicken like it was nothing.
Oh, zero interest in watching. He loves that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, loved the animal shows.
Oh, Avery was glued to it. We were both just watching it devour that chicken.
See, that made the trip for young Avery. See, to see it live, that's one thing to see YouTube videos and get in kind of wormhole of all those YouTube videos. But to see it live, I'm sure that he was like, wow, right?
Oh, my God. People were in shock, too. They're like, they don't usually do that in front of spectators. And I'm like, there's 8 people in this park. They don't care.
And he's hungry. All right. We'll continue this discussion. 312-332-3776. And we got a couple callers. We'll be right back.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
You know, I got a new basketball podcast coming out later today after the third hour of our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to review the Bulls' victory just like we did here on the show. And we'll hear from Paul Jones, brother of Mark Jones, who is the voice of the Toronto Raptors on the radio side. We'll hear from Paul Jones.
How about that?
The third hour. We're going to ask him his thoughts about the Bull.
The battling Bull looks good, man. 4-0, first time since 1996-97.
Thibodeau coming on this week?
You know, I did not reach out to he made a really generous donation to the walkisonechicago.org. Yeah, I had lunch with Darren Yutnick, the CEO of Bernie's Book Bank. He said, he got a really nice check came in from Tom Thibodeau.
So what time is he coming on? He should be on this week.
I did not ask him, but I do think we're going to talk to Billy Donovan this week.
Did you give him the fine money?
Yeah, we did. Yes, Hoodie gave that to him.
Yes. Okay. Well, someone had to because otherwise he's going to pocket it.
He's got it all.
All right, JR, what do you have for us?
Well, I normally don't bust in on you guys like this, but I need to give a shout out to one of our best Twitchers, Trey Tunes, who showed up on Sunday with this amazing shirt for me. If you're on Twitch, you can see it right now.
So it's a picture of you with your arms outstretched saying, come on, let's go.
Let's go. Crowd surfing from Riot Fest. You can see it on Twitch right now. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Trey, amazing, sir.
Pretty
cool.
Now, Trey is a P1 to the station.
Pretty amazing.
And of Cap'n Jay Hood, so it's cool that he made that shirt for you.
It is the funniest thing ever. I cannot stop laughing. Great turnout at our events. Love the Twitch crew. Thank you, you guys.
So I want to ask you this, JR. So is this for sale? Can Cap and I get capitalized on this?
That is a Trey Tunes question, as he is the creator of this genius right here.
I think we should get one.
That'd be great.
I think you should sell it out of the back of your trunk.
There you go.
With a big let's go across the back.
Cap Tesla!
Cap has said, there you go, 4 times, so he must have something for us. So thank you, JR.
Thank you, guys.
Tesla! Let's hear it for Tesla!
All right.
Fine automobile.
There you go.
Back to Danny in progress. When we tease, I want to pay off the tease.
Oh!
So I don't get accused of not paying off the tease. So, Danny, when did you go out to dinner with Carmen and Sylvie? Were they both there on Friday, or did Carm not get till Saturday?
Carm got in on Saturday. He had flight issues as well. It seems like everybody's flight's getting canceled. So Carm didn't get there till Saturday. That was our first all six boys night.
Okay, so Friday night, did you have dinner with Carmen and Gio?
Friday night, it was Sylvie and Mason, me and Avery at our hotel. We sat out over the water. They had this dude on an acoustic guitar. He was playing an acoustic guitar, I'm not joking, for 5 straight hours. Didn't repeat one song. Played everything from Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam to Tom Petty, the Grateful Dead. It was tremendous. I said to Cap this morning, 2 nights ago, I sat outside and ate dinner on the bay. It was 85 degrees. Last night, I had to turn the heat on. I had to cut the heat on, Hoodie.
You cut the heat on? Oh, my.
Didn't you cut the heat on? I'm not the only one cutting the heat on now.
We didn't have our heat on.
It's 52 degrees. It was 47 degrees when I woke up.
You didn't cut the heat on?
No.
It's been a little chilly, man, especially with the rain and the wind.
No, I did not cut any heat on.
Really?
No.
Have you cut the heat on this fall?
No.
You just kept it the same way. Is the air on in there?
No, everything's
on. You cut the air on?
It's like 68 in the house.
Wow.
68?
Yeah.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whoa, Chicago's home for sports.
Where is it?
ESPN 1000.
We turn now to veteran newsman Jonathan Hood with breaking news here on Cap'n J. Hood. Jonathan, thank you very much, sir. Dorothy Gators, the winningest high school basketball coach in Illinois history, has stepped down after a 45-year career at Marshall that featured more than 1,100 wins, 10 girls' state titles, and 24 state trophies. Dorothy Gators, someone that I know, Cap, that you have run across over the years.
Yes.
On the women's side, on the girls' side. Stepping down, 45-year career, legendary coach in the state.
There you go. Congrats, Dorothy, a wonderful woman and an outstanding basketball coach.
You've run across her before,
I dealt
right?
with her a lot. She's outstanding. That's my dad's alma mater.
Interesting that there are some, my note for Dorothy Gators is that she was so good, and I know that I guess you couldn't do this back in the day, and hardly could do it now. She could have coached the men and would have been fine.
No question about her. Yeah. The late Pat Summit.
Yeah.
They could have, absolutely.
45 years. I mean, she's got nothing else to prove.
Nothing.
So, out of all the coaches you've run across, is she the best? Men and women? And the high school level?
On the high school level, is she the best coach I've ever dealt with?
So,
wow.
So you go with Sonny. Sonny's on the top of that list. Sonny Cox, the late Sonny Cox from King.
Won a ton of games.
Bob Hambrick
at Simeon, phenomenal. Wolf. Dick Van Syok, Peoria Emanuel.
Wolf
Nelson was a great coach. Gene Pingator
might be
at the top of my list. He was amazing at St. Joe's.
I can't remember how many championships, but I just know a lot of success at St. Joe's.
Yes.
Isaiah Thomas at the top of that
Steve
list.
Gores at Rockford Boylan. Mm-hmm. I think he's like top five all-time in the state of Illinois,
mm-hmm.
male or female. Guy was an amazing coach.
Yeah, so you know, good for Dorothy Gators. I mean, nothing else to prove after 45 years.
There you go. So she has stepped down. We wish her all the best in retirement.
There you go.
She's an incredible person, too. 312-332-3776. Make sure you save that number. We love when you participate in our show. Also, did you see the report by my daughter, Emily Kaplan, of ESPN?
She's not your daughter, but go ahead.
She has the same name.
Huh?
She tells me all the time, you know how many people walk up to her in arenas? Are you David Kaplan's daughter? No, I'm not.
Hopefully you didn't say it that harshly, but God, it's not a bad idea.
She said that because of the financial constraints from the pandemic, that Stan Bowman will not fire Jeremy Culleton. And that any changes would have to be forced on by Danny Wirtz and Rocky.
Well, there you go. And rightfully so. Culleton should still be in the chair. Absolutely.
Quenneville should still be in the chair.
Well, listen, that's a whole different kettle of fish there. I agree with you there. But there was a Madden-type scenario that was happening there with Quenneville. Like, sometimes a divorce is imminent, right?
Correct.
You know, who's going to get the credit for this cup championship? A disconnect between Bowman and Quenneville. Stop. If it's working, keep it going. Yes, there was a little bit of a slide for the Blackhawks, but there's the Phil Jackson of the Blackhawks of recent vintage, right?
Correct.
Quenneville. All the three cups.
So three cups, and he's the second winningest coach in the history of the sport.
To me, you just figure it out, right? But listen, divorce is imminent. Everyone wants a piece of the pie, want a piece of the credit, so that broke up. So as long as David Ross, my friends, is still the manager of the Cubs, Culleton should remain as head coach of the Blackhawks.
By the way, we also have some sad news that just crossed the wire. Carl Madsen, who worked the Kansas City, Tennessee game on Sunday, was driving home after being the on-field umpire. He was the replay official on Sunday's game. Didn't feel well. Pulled over. Died. They think it was a heart attack, they're not sure, but they found his car pulled over on the side of the road, and he died. Very sad. Worked the game on Sunday. So our condolences to him. He was official for almost 25 years in the league.
Culleton should remain as head coach.
No shot.
Why not? Why?
Because he sucks.
Like Ross? Same situation.
No. Ross won a division. Yeah. Stop yourself.
But Culleton went to the playoffs. Same thing.
They created a backdoor way to get him in the pandemic.
Just like they did the backdoor to get Ross in.
No.
Same situation.
Absolutely not.
You need to stop it, man. Stop defending the guy.
He's a good manager. 312-332. He stinks. 312-332-3776. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. With Yurko and Meller in 2 minutes.
And Carmen.
Take that.